Since iTunes only keeps the last 100 episodes of any show, some of our show topics that seem to help the most people are no longer available when people search on iTunes. So, in an effort to make that information available to more people, from time to time we're going to re-air some of our most popular show topics. You can also go to kickitnaturally.com and search for any topic in our search box. For now, enjoy this show that originally aired in 2014.
T.C. Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hale, author, natural health expert, producer.
Producer of episode number 95.
Woo!
We just added an echo.
And like, confetti just went off.
They were going to say it 95 times.
Yeah.
Glad you didn't.
Yeah, I didn't want to.
95 podcasts of on the wall. I don't know. I forgot. I'm going to have to introduce Will Schmidt. Hottie Patati Will Schmidt's
Hello,
here,
Will
as
Schmidt.
Always.
Hey, thanks for that.
Sorry, I could never forget you.
Mm-hmm.
But I just did.
Except for just now.
Outside of that time, no.
Outside of this one time, I would never forget Will. Anyways, if you haven't followed us on Facebook, go to Kick It in the Nuts. That's where we post all of our show topics that we'll be doing for future shows, and you guys can post any questions you want us to cover, or you can even just give us a show that you want us to do, like a complete show.
You can be bossy.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Just tell us what to do.
If we like you.
Uh-huh.
Also, if you haven't left us a review on iTunes, come on, man.
We got a lot of new ones, and thank you so much to everybody who's been leaving us reviews. You guys are absolutely hometown heroes. That really helps us out a lot.
Exactly. And if you guys can leave a better review than this one, we'll give you $1 million. Okay, Brent and Debbie.
Pretend million.
I was just going to let Kenna send it.
Yeah,
send
a million pesos.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't cash this check until 2024. I've struggled with my weight and many health... Oh, Brent and Debbie again. I've struggled with my weight and many health issues for most of my life. And felt lost in seemingly contradictory nutritional and health advice. I was on the verge of giving up when I happened on the Kick It Naturally podcast.
That's our podcast.
Woohoo! What a treasure! The info from this podcast has been the key for me to begin my journey to personal wellness. It's full of quality, easy to understand information, and it's a ton of fun to listen to. Thanks, Kenna. No, I added that part. I never miss it. Multiple thumbs up. We love you, Brent and Debbie.
Yeah, good job. I guess two thumbs up is really all somebody can give, because most people usually just have the two thumbs.
Well, this one's multiple.
Yeah, so I guess that could be... Uh-oh.
He's just bragging. Maybe he has more thumbs than we do.
Well, it might be the case.
To her credit, and Debbie's amazing. Like, her attitude is, like, on the group, and I've been working with her a good bit in person.
Debbie just finished the coach course, too.
Yeah, she's
so
just...
she really has dug into learning more.
You know, she's fantastic, and she's just taken on, like, all the different, like, challenges that she has with, like, really great attitude, and it's awesome to have her in the group.
Cool.
Yeah, so this is something that we're going to do. We're going to announce this now because, you know, I think the last couple shows we gave away some fake prizes. So for Debbie here, for her review, we're going to send her a closet rebuild. A custom closet rebuild.
A pretend?
Cool. Yeah, it was pretend. It's not real, but we thought that you would just like that. But I think that since we're approaching episode number 100... that we should give away some real prizes. So
I'll show up at your doorstep and eat your food.
Yeah, that's the prize. It's one refrigerator clean out by Kenna.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but I think that for episode number 100, that we're going to give away some prizes. And to get entered, all you have to do is go to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a ratings and review. And if you've already left one, then you'll be entered as well. You don't have to do a second one. But that's all you got to do to enter. So just go to kickitinthenuts.com/iTunes and you'll see how to do that in case you don't know how, or maybe you're not on iTunes and you can leave one on Stitcher. But here's what we're going to give away, and we'll announce these winners on episode number 100. We're going to give away a $100 Amazon gift card.
We are?
Yeah, for real. It's going to be
gonna
for real.
I'm going to leave a review.
Right?
Real money.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and it's coming out of my paycheck.
Uh-huh. We're going to give away a free tub of our protein powder, the Natural Dang. Selection Nutritionals complete protein powder. We're going to send it right to you, and then you'll just put it in your face.
Cool.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. We're also going to give away a free 12-week fat loss course.
Which we're just revamping. Gosh.
We're revamping now, and it's going to be relaunched by the time we get to the 100th episode.
And a rescue dog.
The rescue dog will be our next fake prize that we'll give away for our next week's review. And we're also going to give away a one free Will Schmidt prize.
Will, did not you agree just to me, this?
But I'm going to do a free exercise therapy Skype session.
Wow.
Which is normally like for the company that I used to work for, they usually charge $250 for that. So it'll be whoever wins with me doing an hour-long Skype call where I assess their posture and talk to them about what imbalances are present and help. And I'll create a custom video for them of corrective exercises. Think of it like a personalized yoga routine.
Right, and he also suggests a new hairstyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll,
during that Skype
which
session.
I will make them do right, before I send them the video.
Right. And I'm going to give away a 5-minute Skype session of me doing really bad accents.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's
you can just tell
easy.
Me which one you want me to do, and right. I'll go for it.
They all sound Texan.
So we should make
no,
a list.
No, they don't.
So these will be real prizes that we're going to give away on episode 100. So just leave a review before we get to that episode, and you could be a winner chicken dinner on getting one
if
of those prizes.
If you leave multiples, do you get multiple entries?
You can only leave one review on iTunes. Otherwise, I wouldn't ask people to do it. I just do them all day.
And what we're not just asking because we want to feel good. Doesn't it like move us up in the rankings?
It helps. It really helps expose the show to more people and helps us spread the word.
I mean, to the ambitious, they could create fake emails,
yeah.
right?
Hello?
No, not on iTunes.
You oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, they've got that locked
on iTunes.
Down.
You have to have an iTunes account and to
just go over to different friends' that, house who have iTunes
yeah,
account and then
steal
leave a review
phone,
as them.
Do it at them.
That's a lot more work.
But yeah, you have to have a credit card attached to your iTunes Whoa. Card. So all iTunes reviews are real, and we have like over 200 of them. So
Man.
We're kind of awesome.
Yelp.
So we really
talk
appreciate you guys.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that's what we're doing. So that's kind of fun because 100 episodes is it's a ton. That's a boatload.
A lot.
Well, we'll retire after that.
Yeah.
But maybe we should do this episode.
Okay, I'm still like looking at words on there. Okay, and for all of you Kick It Naturally listeners, here's something else you can get. Audible's offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial, so you can check out their service. Just go to kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook to find the link. That was easy
yeah,
to say,
easy
not
enough.
Really.
Right.
But you can get a free book of Tony's Kick Your Fat in the Nuts.
The audiobook version.
Yeah,
you can get
yeah,
that for free
yeah.
on Audible.
Then you don't have to read. Yeah.
Right.
You can just sit there and be
people,
lazy.
People will read to you, but it's not me reading. I actually hired someone else to do it because I wanted to be lazy like you guys.
Because you didn't want people
I
to turn
to be
it
cool.
off.
Right.
Okay, so first question, Michelle.
We're just answering people's questions today. So if you guys
yeah.
have questions, go to kickitinthenuts.com. And click on the Ask Tony link, and then you can ask questions, and we'll cover them on future shows.
Okie dokie. So Michelle asked a question, and her question was, I have been working with a naturopath on my health. She suggested reading your books as I'm interested in health stuff. She has me using the proper food combining rules. You don't mention anything about that in your book. What are your thoughts on that theory?
So that's a good question, and this is something that I actually used to do a long, long time ago, especially back when I did like blood type diet stuff a lot, and I kind of view it in a similar fashion. And there's some things that we kind of lean towards with some clients, but a lot of those food combining rules are kind of setting your body up to process the food that's in the stomach at one time with the easiest capacity to do so. So it seems to be more effective for people who don't have strong digestive capacity. For example, one thing that you'll look at is that when you eat fruit, it digests very quickly. It moves through your stomach probably in 20, 30 minutes in most cases when you eat fruit alone. But when you eat a steak, it's going to be in there for a while and it's going to be breaking down and acidifying. So a lot of people talk about how, you know, if you're going to eat fruit on top of your steak, that you're kind of holding up the fruit in your stomach longer and maybe it's going to cause it to ferment or something or cause other issues. by not allowing it to move through like it should. So a lot of people, when they do food combining things, they want you to have these type of starches with these types of foods, or fruit away from these types of things. And but when you have a powerhouse digestion going on and you have a high enough stomach acid level, it's going to kind of rip through a lot of stuff, and you don't have to be so picky. Still, even beyond that, I tell clients all the time that, hey, if you're going to have fruit, it's great to have it by itself, or maybe even 30 minutes before you have your food to allow that to move through the system before you bring other things in there. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things, some of which you taught to me really early on when I was first getting into this, was about digestive capacity. Like, if someone doesn't have an aspect of their digestion working, it really doesn't do them any good to eat that type of food until they fix that. Like, fats are a good example. Like, if you don't have good bile flow and you hear coconut oil is great for you and you try to eat it and you feel super nauseous and get like crazy diarrhea, it's like, well, that wasn't really appropriate for you. So if you're just going to buy these rules of food combining, like, that might not apply to you if you don't have the digestive capacity to break down the protein or the fat or even the carbohydrate or even the type of carbohydrate that it is. So, like you said, digestion is really critical for any of these choices. But, you know, before the conversation of which ones go together, like, which ones can you handle personally presently, and what work do you need to do to improve the strength of your digestion? And then another thing that we see a lot is when people are dealing with acid reflux issues, when they have kind of lower hydrochloric acid levels.
Oh, I didn't even think about that, yeah.
And they eat proteins and carbs, and they're trying to take HCL. Like, sometimes that turns out horribly. Like,
yeah,
if someone has low HCL and they have, like, a lot of bacteria in their stomach as a result of that deficient hydrochloric acid production, then when they eat carbohydrates, it can sort of feed those bacteria and they create a lot of alkaline exotoxins that then interact with the hydrochloric acid in the stomach, and it can create a big fizzy, bubbly, nauseous reaction where they have a lot of reflux and that sort of thing, feel really awful and feel really bloated. But what we see a lot of the times happen is, once they do the work to kill off the bacteria in the stomach, whether it's through taking like heartburn free or delimonene or something like that, and clear out the stomach bacteria populations, then we see that the carbohydrates and proteins can sit a lot better together. Once that's a little bit.
Right, but you can see where a lot of these rules for different situations would have come up, because if someone with that low stomach acid eats their carbs or starches away from protein even, then all of a sudden they're not creating so much acid in the stomach during that time when those carbs might be activating all of those bacteria and not creating such a reflux issue or even discomfort. So it kind of goes back to how much resilience does your body have? How much ability does it have to take care of its business? If someone's in a fragile state, then doing things like food combining or even eating foods that are right for your blood type, all those things can help the person feel better almost immediately. But once you strengthen that individual's structure of their body and all the functionality of it, and they can properly digest what's going in there, then it just becomes less important. Now, the things about doing fruit away from, protein or something like that may benefit more people in other ways. But again, if somebody's like a ninja, they could put whatever they want in there and it's all going to work out.
Yeah. And there's other people with certain profiles where we would say, hey, it's not really a good idea for you to eat carbohydrates on their own without something else to slow down. Right. It's like the proteins and fats can be these more steady fuel sources that can help keep, say, like someone who's a fast oxidizer who burns the carbohydrates really quickly. We generally don't see them do well when they have just carbs in a meal. So
your combinations would be like, with your imbalances,
yeah,
back to that, your specific body, once you can digest everything and have that all work, and then it just goes with like what is your imbalances with your body and you work with that to improve.
Mm-hmm.
So like the eggs things, like, you always say like hard-boiled eggs in the day, runny eggs at night is more anabolic, things like that, right?
Well, that's so kind of a thing that can be one aspect. But when you look at food combining, one thing that we do mention in the book is that we say we really would like you to have some protein at each meal. And that's because kind of what Will was just saying, that for a lot of people, if they have a meal that's, just starches, and maybe their insulin is overly powerful, or they're a fast oxidizer that's going to rip through that too quickly. They're going to create like a spike and a crash from that meal that's just carbs. But if you include some protein in there, that can slow all that down, and all of a sudden they can keep that blood sugar on a more even keel. So that can be viewed as a type of food combining thing, where you're combining your starches with a protein when you consume them. But again, someone who doesn't have those issues could do fine just eating something, and it wouldn't hit them so hard. So again, look at what your situation is, how your body is processing these different foods, and that might alter what you combine or what you're eating with what. But if you can balance all those things out, then everything becomes a little less important.
And until you get like your digestion, you're able to like digest proteins and stuff, you could do things like bone broth and things like that.
Yeah, to get some of those nutrients in too.
Okay, Melissa from Denver, Colorado. I seem to bruise every time I bump into anything. I'm sure my coworkers think my husband is abusive. How can I fix this?
That poor guy who goes to the office parties, everybody's staring at him. He's like, what did I do?
Hi, Dan.
Yeah. Nice to meet you, Dan.
He comes along and hits him. Uh-huh. Frogger.
Uh-huh. So, there's a few different aspects to look at on this, but the most common thing and the most important thing, in my opinion, is to look at what's going on with vitamin C in the body as far as whether it's coming in. And also, is there something else that could be creating some kind of toxic load on the body that's causing most of the body's vitamin C to go towards dealing with that issue? So that's the most common thing that we see. And there are other things that we'll get to here in a second. But what you can't do is you can't go to the drugstore and buy vitamin C and fix it, because usually you're just going to find a fractionated synthetic form of vitamin C like ascorbic acid that is not going to supply your body a whole form of vitamin C. You want to talk about some of the whole forms that seem to work better?
Yeah, there's lots. I mean, it's of course naturally occurring in like oranges and strawberries. People are pretty aware of those, but there's some other, if you're trying to be more cognizant of the amount of sugar that you're consuming with it, you could get it from other, they sometimes are referred to as super fruits, like acerola cherry or camu camu. Some pretty easily available on Amazon.com. Or
those come in powder forms where you can just put it in a shake or something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we put it in our shake as an organic acerola cherry in our protein powder.
Yeah, and you could win a container of that protein totally powder by leaving a rating and review.
100. Yeah, you totally can.
100.
So vitamin C is really important in the way it helps the collagen cells that make up our tissues form crosslinks. So if you think about how important is like a crosslink if you're making like a quilt. Like, it's really important, or else you just have a bunch of string, right? Or like an afghan.
How to make quilts.
Yeah. My mom's the best. Yeah. Actually, quilter. Arguably the best quilter.
That's right. She really has. Okay.
She really is.
Like, this
arguably.
Is really seriously. No. Like, really? She's legitimately.
Like, teacher of the year in America. She's. If you like quilts, uh-huh. Check out Short Attention Span Quilting. You probably already know her if you're in the quilt world, though. She's like the Jimi Hendrix of quilting.
Yes.
So anyway, crosslinks are formed as a couple particular proteins in our collagen are bound through the help of vitamin C. And when you don't have vitamin C available, they don't form those crosslinks, so you get a bunch of just like fibrin that's not connected. So that's really important to have it. But also, it's really important to have sufficient protein in your body, especially the types of amino acids that are constructive of our cells and that also support the health of our cells and their energy production cycles. So like we mentioned, bone broth already is really important. It might have been even for the previous person, but again, it's important for this to help pull our body out of a catabolic state. So when we think about what the catabolic state is a tissue breakdown state. So someone who's bruising easily, they're experiencing a lot of capillary leakage and poor fibrin formation. So we want to help them be in a more of an anabolic state generally. So collagen and bone broth soups and vitamin C are kind of essential ingredients in that. But also looking at your ability to absorb protein in general is pretty critical.
Right, and your ability for your body to actually repair things. Because, we talk about that a lot of those things can help push us in an anabolic state, but We also see a lot of people who already have a severe anabolic imbalance that bruise really easily, and they'd be like, well, what's the deal? I'm already anabolic. But you also have to have those building blocks. You know, that anabolic state is the state where things can get repaired, but you still have to have the resources to repair them. So, you know, all those things in bone broth could be a lot of the resources that you use, and sometimes people are missing those type of resources that are creating a lot of that fragility that allows things to kind of break very easily and bruise severely. But with vitamin C, that seems to help the most people the quickest, because you can kind of cheat and use supplements. Like, we use Bio-C, which is a whole food form of vitamin C, and we put the acerola cherry in our powder. But most of those are from plant sources. And when we see someone who's in a real severe vitamin C deficiency, where it's a real problem, sometimes some animal sources of vitamin C can help them pull out of that a little faster. And sometimes a standard process actually makes one called cataplex C, which is like a whole food form of C that comes from animal glandular kind of stuff. And that seems to pull some people out of trouble even faster. But you usually have to have a health practitioner that has access to standard process in order to get that. So that's a harder one to get. But we see a lot of people improve things with just whole food forms of C, not synthetic ones. So that could be a good place to start, is to get some type of whole food source of C, but then increase collagen and other things, like, you know, using bone broth to pull in all those extra cofactors that could help you rebuild and repair things better.
All right, Julie, I'm with Julie on this question from Santa Cruz, California. I'm beginning to understand from your show why I feel so horrible the day after I drink wine. Not hungover, but completely depleted from my blood sugar spiking and crashing. Are there any tricks I can do that would allow me to have the occasional wine without feeling wrecked the whole next day? Yes, are there any tricks?
Yes, you just talk to Kenna, and you might not feel better, but you'll have all these new excuses you can use. Okay, so there's quite a few things to look at here. And first of all, if you know, you're looking for tricks, that what allows me to do something and get away with it, and it depends on, you know, of course, your chemistry, but also what your goals are. If your goals are weight loss, then there might not be a trick that helps so much, because of the spiking and crashing of insulin that can happen through any type of alcohol, really. But a couple things to consider is why you might feel so depleted is if Julie is a little overreactive to any type of sugars or alcohols that are coming in. Maybe her urine pH is a little higher. Maybe her insulin is a little stronger. So when you're creating a spike like that a liquid, you know, alcohol can create, you really can get a big crash. And when you wake up the next morning, there's no blood sugar. You kind of got such a huge crash from insulin sweeping too much out that you kind of can't function. And maybe someone who has more minerals or other resources might not feel this so much. They can drink some wine. And Kenna's doing some tricks where she's doing calisthenics on the microphones right now. But you might not, a sugar crash and spike might not hit you so hard. But if you're a person where it hits you hard, but you really want to do some drinking, you know, maybe the next day you realize, okay, my blood sugar's really crashed. What can I do to replenish that a little bit without creating another spike and crash?
But your nutritionist might hit you hard if you drink.
Right. The nutritionist could hit you hard. Depending on what your goals were. But, you know, so maybe, you know, what are some things that we could eat in the morning that might lift, you know, restore blood sugar so that the person could function without creating such a spike and crash, like berries, or what else could we look at?
Yeah, I think like a good hydrating beverage would be a good choice. Also one with naturally like kind of lower glycemic sugars and naturally occurring minerals. So like a protein shake with a base of either dairy, if you can handle it, or coconut milk, and a pinch of salt and some frozen or fresh berries ground in with some...
Sounds delicious.
Like, yeah, with some collagen protein would be a really great sort of recovery thing. On the note of, like, like I guess they call them biohacks. I really hate that word, but Rob Wolf has a recipe of a, he calls it a NorCal margarita.
Right.
Familiar with that one?
Yeah.
Tim Ferriss, this other really awesome entrepreneur guy who wrote The 4-Hour Body, gave a whole present, like an hour long talk at Austin City Limits, I think was, and it was pretty much all about trying to get drunk and minimize the negative
the problems.
Impact.
With it.
Yeah, so,
nice.
So he gets into the science of it, but he doesn't take credit for the idea. I think he mostly credits Rob Wolf, the paleo guy, about. And I'm trying to recall from memory, it's something like a clean tequila. He didn't use wine,
right?
Along with club soda, and noting the carbonated water as something that would help the alcohol. Tim Ferriss points out saying it helps the alcohol hit your body faster. But I think there's other benefits from the carbon dioxide and how it supports regular cellular respiration. That's the actual benefit of it. And then as much lemon or lime as you can handle in the margarita. And cited on that was something about how it can help stabilize blood sugar levels, I guess, from the citrus.
What? Okay, I'm writing this down. What's the website?
Yeah. But this is not answering Julie's thing of how to get away with drinking a glass of wine. This is a whole different drink. So if you don't like what's in the NorCal margarita or super saturating tequila with lemon and lime, this isn't going to help her. But if you do just want to get a little buzzed, you might want to Google NorCal margarita or Rob Wolf margarita.
Right.
Yeah, and you'll see it. A little recipe that could help you. But even if you did do the wine, you could still take pieces of that, like have carbonated water or sparkling water with it, or have a sparkling wine, and maybe include citrus in your meal.
You know, something else too is, let's think about, are you having, you know, if you're drinking any kind of alcohol on an empty stomach, everybody knows that that's going to hit you harder, but you're going to get drunk faster. Everybody understands all that. But if your issues are like Julie, where she's saying, you know, I'm starting to understand that I'm getting this sugar spike and crash from the wine. So if that's the case for you, you know, having the wine after you have food in your stomach, especially if there's fiber in there, or even taking a fiber supplement, you know, before you have this wine, could reduce the speed at which it hits you, that blood sugar is going to spike and create the insulin spike in, right after it. So if you can slow down how fast it comes in, maybe you don't get such a huge crash. Now, we're not saying this takes away the fact that, you know, all the other aspects that alcohol can contribute, or any other problems that don't go well with your chemistry or your weight loss goals or, you know, whatever the situation is. It doesn't eliminate all that. But when it comes to the spiking and crashing of blood sugar, these are some things that seem to make it better.
Noted. Bob from Florida. Okay, I've been working on this.
Ken is going to be very upset with you. Well, it's worse. So if we meet you at some point, just run from Kenna immediately.
We know acetaminophen kills our livers. N-acetyl has been promoted as a liver protector to take the acetaminophen if you have to dose yourself. Aspirin is my preference, but I can't always find pure aspirin. Also promoting selenium, zinc, glycine, glutamine, R-lipoic acid, PQQ, silymarin, and B-complex for glutathione support. Thoughts?
Killed the Kenner.
Except for the one that was the easiest, and I just had my tongue wrapped up around it. Selenium.
So Kenna did so well, we'll just let her answer all this question.
Yeah.
No, we actually know Bob from our support group. And
hi, Bob.
Yeah, he talks a lot about how he's improved a lot of things in his health. So let's look at a bunch of stuff with this. First of all, acetaminophen is basically, most people know it as like Tylenol or generic forms of that. And those type of things, along with ibuprofen, both seem to have a pro-catabolic effect. So that's important when you look at some type of pain reliever, because you can actually learn a lot from this. From what works for you, for whatever pain you're having. For some people, they might find that aspirin improves their pain to where ibuprofen makes it worse. And if it does, the pain that you're having may be caused by an overly catabolic state creating tissue problems, or an overly anabolic state creating other tissue problems in an opposite situation. So you could almost kind of test things out by taking different types of pain relievers just to help you figure out what's causing the pain in the first place. And then you might be able to improve that imbalance so you don't need any of these pain relief type of situations as well. But as far as when he's saying N-acetyl, that's N-acetylcysteine. And we used to actually use this a lot for people who were leaning towards hypoglycemic issues. It kind of helped them not process carbs so aggressively. And we used to see some success with it. And I know we had Dr. Ruscio on the show before, and he uses a lot as an agent to help break down biofilms. But I've also heard that it actually has the ability to cross the blood-brain barrier, and that maybe that can be a problem. So since I've heard that, and I don't know if it's a fact, but I've been a little bit freaked out about using that aggressively for that reason. Oh, you looked like you're going to say something, Kenna. So I don't know about using that as far as canceling out the effects of a Tylenol-type painkiller hitting your liver. I don't know if that's going to be enough to take care of that. And my goal would always be to figure out what's causing the pain. You know, why do you feel like you have to have a painkiller type of thing?
Yeah.
And before we move on to some of these other things, maybe we should talk about aspirin some too.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing that, you know, pretty much anybody who has heart disease, they're saying, take an aspirin. And when you look at heart disease and when you look at the chemistry that's usually behind it, they're usually very catabolic. Yeah. And aspirin is very pro-anabolic. So when we see people doing that, it's almost like, oh, well, here's one benefit we know that might be coming from that.
Yeah. And other benefits are, in its well-documented anti-estrogenic effects. It helped mitigate, like, lots of studies early on when aspirin was first discovered as this wonder drug. Lots of studies were coming out showing how powerful an anti-estrogenic agent it was and how it helped to mitigate all these problems that elevated estrogen levels were causing, including cancers, as well as lots of inflammation symptoms that estrogen was directly causing. And so the estrogen industry didn't like that at all, and they created a lot of buzz to sort of like badmouth the impact of aspirin, saying, oh, it destroys you, and they forced a lot of the manufacturer of aspirin to put all these warnings on aspirin and also to encourage the whole market to have to like coat the aspirin. And there's a great article by Ray Pete at raypete.com about this whole thing, this whole scandal, and the interactions between the different industries and the research that goes into making aspirin look like it's super dangerous and like it is damaging to the stomach. But what Ray Pete's position is that the coating is actually damaging, and also that the studies that claim to show aspirin causes stomach damage were somehow staged in a way to intentionally cause stomach damage, and that regular use of aspirin does not cause stomach damage. It breaks down really quickly, as easily as different components of certain fruits. Like the molecules that are active agents in aspirin break down as easily as fruits. And it is like highly anti-inflammatory and anti-estrogenic. So a lot of people that have pain related to elevated stress hormones like estrogen feel a lot better right away when they take aspirin. I'm not sure why, Bob. I get that people do have a hard time finding uncoated aspirin or pure aspirin. I've never had a problem finding it because I just use Amazon.com. And if you search for USP aspirin or this brand by Jericare, it's just aspirin and a small amount of starch, which is the binding agent. So Jericare aspirin. We link to that on NaturalSelectionNutritionals.com under this tab called Other Supplements We Love if you're having trouble finding it. But you can just look directly on Amazon too. But I've never seen that out of stock. And it's not at all expensive.
Yeah, so if you find that you are needing a pain thing, it might be worth having that on hand so you don't get stuck having to use something that might hit the liver a little bit harder. And there's some evidence that could suggest that aspirin does not need to overpower the liver like most other drugs would, just because of the way that it breaks down in the body more like a fruit type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's really from willow bark. And I mean, they make it synthetically in the lab, but they make the molecule that is naturally like occurring in the fruit or in willow bark. There's a particular set of molecules that break down in the stomach to become what aspirin is made. So it's, in a way, it's not a naturally occurring thing that aspirin is willow bark, but it is what your body makes out of willow bark as it metabolizes willow bark. So in that way, you can think of it more like the active ingredient in aspirin is more similar to a herb.
Or herb.
I say herb.
Or my pal herb.
I say herb because there's an H in it. So it's not like metformin or something that has to, like, your body knows is a poison and does everything it can to get it out, and the drug manufacturers have to put in just a bit more than you can possibly filter. Aspirin, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't hit the body like a crazy toxic poison.
And ibuprofen, were y'all saying that hits it more?
That is more of a something that usually has to hit the liver, and just like most other drugs. But we were saying that ibuprofen, like acetaminophen and the Tylenol type stuff, are pro-catabolic.
Yeah. So, like, I couldn't take an aspirin because I'm anabolic.
Well, right. I mean, if it was appropriate for you, though, just like anything else, like, you know, when we talk about how, you know, heavy cream is pro-anabolic, but if someone has an anabolic imbalance and heavy cream is going to be appropriate for some reason, they just have to do enough things to improve the imbalance in the other direction. Right. Let's take a break real quick, and then we're going to come back and talk about Bob's other supplements.
Okay. If you'd like to learn how to become a health coach or even just dig into more advanced teachings for yourself or your family, go to healthprocourse.com to learn about Tony and Will's course for coaches. Registration for this course only opens to the public for about a week at a time, so be sure to register for the coach newsletter so you'll be notified when the next registration opens. You'll find more info at healthprocourse.com.
Okay, so let's look at some of these other supplements that Bob is asking about. You want to talk about some of these? Because I know that we do a lot of, you know, we even put the selenium into our protein powder. Do you want to talk about some of that? Because I guess his question is for glutathione support. And glutathione can be very important. Some people view it almost as like the don't die substance in your body. Like, if you have enough of this, it can kind of repair a lot of things that are going wrong. But it's hard to get glutathione in the system to where the body can use it. But you seems like you can take steps to improve your body's ability to create more of its own glutathione. And I think that's what Bob is trying to ask is, you know, are some of these things really supportive to do that?
Yeah. I mean, they all kind of function in their own ways and have their own unique instances when they're appropriate. So selenium is a trace mineral that we need in our bodies, and it has some well-documented antiviral effects, but it's also supportive of the health of our collagen in our skin and collagen throughout the body, as well as supportive of thyroid hormone function. Zinc, also an essential mineral that we also use in particular instances, especially if there's like an H. pylori problem. A lot of times we'll use different zinc supplements to help counter that.
And the body also needs zinc in order to make its own HCl, so it's a big deal.
Yeah. So all of these have different relevance to just supporting the regular health of the body. Glycine is the primary amino acid in collagen and gelatin, which is the primary amino acid that our bodies are made of. It also has a hormonal impact that's very supportive of cellular respiration and the living state. Glutamine is a very pro-anabolic amino acid that can help raise blood pressure and also has some well-documented healing effects for the intestinal tract and the gut in general. Sometimes these things could be really appropriate, but for example, say you're already an individual with high blood pressure who's constipated, you might not want to just take glutamine because you heard it's good or because it has some role in relationship to glutathione, but if you're sitting in a lower blood pressure state with maybe intestinal irritation and loose stools, glutamine might be a great choice.
Yeah, that can be really effective in that regard, but it's not something that we, you know, most of these things aren't someone that we just say, hey, take all of these things so that you can improve glutathione levels and improve everything with liver function and kind of counterbalance the need to take some type of pain relief thing. I just don't think that's the route we go. But, you know, like with lipoic acid is a great example of something that we might give to someone who really is having some liver trouble and needs to help improve that, but we would never do that without first making sure that bile is flowing properly. You don't want to start flushing stuff out of the liver if you don't have an exit strategy that's functioning correctly to get toxins out of the body. Mm-hmm. And I view that as pretty important with anything where you're trying to improve liver function. I think the PQQ was, it was the Silymarin.
Silymarin.
That's not. I've never used that or the PQQ. I don't have any experience with either of those, but I was looking at some of the things people use them for, the PQQ being a strong antioxidant type of thing, but I don't know which way it pushes chemistry in any direction or anything.
And it's also, it's a really good idea to not just take an antioxidant because you heard it was good for you. Like, oxidation is not a bad thing in general. It's like, think of your car engine, like if it didn't oxidize anything, it wouldn't work, right? So all of our cells are always oxidized. That's how we make energy and clear out metabolic waste products from cellular respiration. So your body's constantly working on trying to balance out oxidation rates so that you're making energy and clearing out the waste products of it at the right rate. Something like bleach is a really strong oxidant. So, yeah, we wouldn't want to be oxidizing that fast. But
you don't want a bleach slurpee?
Right. Yeah, you don't want to be a bleach slurpee. But at the same time, you don't want to neutralize all oxidation from occurring. I remember, maybe it was like 5 or 6 years ago, I was really excited about antioxidants, and I made this little cocktail that had the most potent antioxidants all combined. So there was sumac, clove is the most antioxidant thing that exists.
So when I used to smoke cloves back in the day,
you were oxidizing with the smoke. But so like all these different super fruits and things, like they'll be out on the ORAC, like goji berries, like they had their whole heyday. And there's this thing called the ORAC scale, the oxidative reductive adaptive capacity of a thing. And the higher ORAC score it was, like the more they try to sell the thing for. So there's like blueberries are antioxidant. They had the certain scores like 300, you know? And then there was like goji berries. They were like 5,000. Like, wow. But then you look at like clove and it's like 12 million.
Oh my
gosh. Like insanely antioxidant. And then sumac was like also like crazy, way more antioxidant than goji berries. So I made this little concoction of like sumac and ground clove and whatever, this tea. And I drank it and
you woke up 4 days later.
No, instantly I had a cold. By the time I finished swallowing, my throat was super inflamed. And I seriously had a cold for like 3 or 4 days.
Oh, wow.
It's like, that was the power of antioxidants. Like, you don't want to mess with antioxidants, just blindly take them.
Yeah.
So glutathione being this master antioxidant, like, your body's regulating the amount that it's making of it on purpose. And yes, you do want to cover all your bases and getting your trace minerals and different things, but you don't want to just blindly take antioxidants.
Right, and there are definitely people out there who benefit greatly from antioxidants because of a lot of problems that are going on in their body, but don't assume that that means that you need it just like that person needs it. Again, we got to look at our chemistry and what's going on with us. So that's kind of the view on some of those things. You know, B-complex, B-vitamins are can be beneficial for a lot of people, but you don't want to push too strong for some of those in a lot of scenarios. So everything that Bob mentions here, you know, most of them, except for the PQQ and the ones that we don't have any experience with, we use with people and have good results with them, as long as we're not using them for everybody. We have to look at, is it right for the person using it, and are they going to benefit?
Because we're all snowflakes.
Snowflake it up.
Saying.
Snowflake it up. So I think we finished
That's
the show.
It.
Yeah,
That's
we answered it. Questions.
All
we did
right.
it. So
leave those reviews. So
yeah, let's get you into that episode 100 to see if you can win one of those awesome prizes. Just go to kickitinthenuts.com/iTunes to see how to submit your review so that you're in the drawing.
Yeah. If you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the free 4-week digestion course at kickitinthenuts.com or head on over to Will Schmidt's mybodyandknowledge.net. He's got a lot of cool exercises, his blog, and all that great information there. And that's about it, people.
Yeah, next week we'll have Will's mom on to talk about quilting.
Yay! So.